You guys both made compelling cases. But because the judge is fickle and makes his own decisions, we're going to award point number two to Albin.
Are you kidding me?
This
so
is
Albin
great.
Is up 2-0. The tension is building. So, Kevin, you got to sweep.
There's so many weak points in his argument.
You got to sweep the rest of these.
I didn't even rebuttal.
You should have rebutted before he gave his points out.
That's all right. You still got a chance.
Give me a break. The listeners are cutting this episode off as we speak. They're so disappointed in the judgment. Here we go.
So how's it feel to be back in the studio, guys?
Hot. I mean, we have to turn the AC off so that there's not like AC hum in the back. Wait, AC's back on.
Yes.
We're running it. We have to.
By popular demand.
So it's this hot and we're running AC.
Yeah, it's going to cool down.
There's a lot of hot air in this room right now.
It's the state of Florida. It's September in Florida, which is pretty much summer anywhere else.
That is true. That is true. We have summer and then we have...
February.
Yes, we have fake pretend winter and then summer some more.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's good to be back in the office. It's good to have you back so that we know to schedule this and then record. So glad to have you back, Travis. How's
glad to be back in the saddle.
In the saddle. How's dad life treating you? Dad part two.
Dad life part two is good. So this is baby number two. So things were more predictable. It wasn't like our first foray into... going to the hospital, like, you know, I nearly got lost driving to the hospital for the first child.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
you got to prep your route.
I didn't drive the route before we actually like had game time. Just said, we'll do it live when it happens. Google Maps will tell us where to go. But then when you put in the address for a hospital, hospitals are huge, especially the one that we went to, the one downtown. And so, like, you can put in an address, then it's like, okay, well, where do I go from here in this complex?
This is a one-way street. I can't go down the one-way street.
So everything went much more smoothly this time. Mom's doing great. Baby's doing great. Big sister's a big fan of having a living baby doll in her house. We'll see a month or two down the road once she figures out that he's sticking around.
Yeah.
How she feels then. But to this point, family's doing great. So thanks for asking.
Good job. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations and welcome home. Or welcome back to the office, not your home.
Out of your home.
So we wanted to kick off with a couple of new things that we've added to Buzzsprout since our last episode. Kevin, why don't you tackle iframe embeds?
Sure. So this is live. I think the next two things that we're going to talk about aren't quite ready yet, but they'll be out in the next week or so. So iframe embed codes are, for most people, it's probably not something that you have to worry about, but every now and then we have a customer that's using a web tool that doesn't allow JavaScript embeds. And JavaScript embeds are better because they're more flexible. So if we change how the player works or how it loads or the size of the player, we can update the code in the back end. And if you're using the JavaScript embed code, it will automatically update on your website. You don't have to make any changes. But every now and then, like I said, it doesn't work with a certain web builder. And if you find yourself in that situation, our support team would always send you iframe embed code so you could still use the embed player. Now we're just making that code available to you right on the website. So you click into in Buzzsprout, you find the embed player that you want. It gives you the JavaScript code by default. And now there's a link that says, I need iframe embed code instead. You click that and it switches over and shows it to you. So more flexibility, again, not for everybody, but if you've had any trouble embedding web players from Buzzsprout on your website, now you have the tools to do it yourself without going through our support team.
Well, and there are a couple longstanding, recurring places where people have issues with embedding episodes. I'm thinking the Squarespaces and the Wixes of the world. Is this going to work for them?
Every now and then with WordPress, kind of depending on your theme or your plugins or something, you can have trouble. So yeah, it helps all those people for sure. I mean, pretty much the way I would tackle it or suggest that you tackle it is try the JavaScript embed code first. And if you have trouble with that, then come back and get the iframe embed code.
What is something that you would get with the JavaScript that you wouldn't necessarily have with the iframe?
Well, it doesn't happen very often, but every now and then we will tweak how the embed player works or looks, or we'll add a button or we'll add some functionality. And that in and of itself is not a problem. That's going to work and continue to work no matter which code base you're using. But let's say we need to adjust the size of the player. We need to make it a few pixels taller, a few pixels shorter. You know, if the dimensions of the player itself change given an update that we've done, then the JavaScript code can accommodate for that and it would adjust on the fly. You wouldn't have to go back and change out your embed code. The iframe code is more rigid, so it doesn't change. Again, this is not something that happens very often, which is why we're finally saying, let's just go ahead and make this available to everyone, because it's really only, I think, in the 12-year history of Buzzsprout, we've changed the size of the player like three times in 12 years. So it doesn't happen very often. And it's a great fallback. So, yep, use it if you need it. And if you don't, stick with JavaScript. But yeah, it's new.
Yeah. And you can change that yourself. So there's multiple versions of the players that we have. And if you said, oh, I want to customize it to be the other player, different size, you can't really do that if you're doing the using the iframe version. You can only do it with the JavaScript. And it's not like you're changing one code out. Imagine you've been podcasting for 2 years and all of a sudden you're updating 100 codes or something. It's painful. So use JavaScript if possible. That is going to be better, future compatible. But the iframe, I mean, that's what YouTube uses for all their YouTube videos, is an iframe embed. So it works everywhere, works well. It's just there's a few different things that aren't as nice, but it'll work out well.
Wonderful. So all you Squarespace and Wix and WordPress users, have fun. Have at it if you had issues with embedding in the past. Next update, you might not be able to see it yet.
Right. It won't be live yet. This episode will drop Friday, and this is probably something that's going to launch the following week.
Okay. But yeah, so tell us about in-app web notifications.
Yeah. So the browsers pretty recently, Chrome, most notably Chrome and Safari, have enabled web notifications. So it's just the browser giving us a way to notify you of something that's happened in the web page that you're using without us having to send, you know, emails or all this other stuff. It's a little pop-up notification. And it can be helpful for certain things. Like let's say you come into Buzzsprout, you upload an episode, you punch in all your show notes and everything and you hit save and publish. Well, you might hang around on that page for a while to wait for it to finish processing so that you know that it's actually completed, there were no errors, and it is published out. What happens, if you're anything like us, is that we switch tabs and we start multitasking and doing other things while we're waiting for that stuff to finish. And so now instead of keep coming back to that tab, the Buzzsprout tab, and like refreshing and making sure it's done, we have web notifications. And so web notifications will pop up a little notification, usually like in the top right corner of your screen, and just say, hey, here's a message from Buzzsprout. And so the first one that we're launching with is that your episode is finished processing. If you enable notifications, you'll be able to see that. And again, just a little workflow enhancement.
Any thoughts, Alvin?
I always click no for those. It's always like news sites. They're like, do you want to know every time we have a new story? I'm like, heck no. I don't need less news, not more news.
Well, we worked through that a lot because all of us on the team had that same concern. Like if a website asks us for permission to show notifications, like, and it's not clear what this notification is going to be for or when you're going to, you know, pop up something and distract me, then we all say no. And so we wanted to make sure we're asking at the right point at the right time and give customers the ability to turn it on and off very easily. So right, like by default, when we launch it, we're going to have them turned off. We're trying to figure out what's the right time to prompt people for the first time to ask for permission to show notifications. And that's kind of what we're working through right now, which is why it's not going to be out for like another week, because we don't want to just say, hey, can we have permission to pop notifications on your screen? Because most people are going to be like, no, why are you going to do that? If we ask you at a time where it actually seems helpful, like, hey, this episode is processing, would you like us to give you notification when it's done? Then more people are likely to take advantage of it. And it, you know, it tells people what it's for and why we're using it and how it's helpful. So,
well, I can commit right now, I will never put like 50% off if you sign up for our annual plan. Like, those are the ones that drive me crazy.
No, it's not for marketing. This is for, we're truly trying to be helpful.
Yeah, it's just your episode's processed, so now you can go and share it, create a soundbite, and do everything else you want to do with it.
Yes, helpful for you, not self-serving in the helpfulness.
Right.
And then the last thing that we have here in the notes is a project affectionately known as Episode Publish Completion.
Yeah, you know that we just couldn't think of a clever name for it.
Just describe it as what it is.
Yeah, so when you publish an episode right now, whether you schedule it or whether you click publish immediately, what happens is you're brought back to that main episode space. It shows you all of your episodes, everything in your current cycle, your full history, all of that stuff. You don't necessarily know, especially if you're new to podcasting, you don't know, okay, well, what does that mean? When is it going to be live in the directories? What can I do right now? Can I share a link to it right now? And so we've enhanced that workflow to make it more educational and more helpful and provide links to things that you might want to do now that you've published or scheduled an episode. So that new workflow is launching, again, probably within a week or so of hearing this episode, and it should be really fun. We're trying to make it fun. Like, it's a celebration, right? Also, like, you just did something. You either scheduled an episode or you published an episode, and so We want to celebrate that and also give you helpful tips for where do you go from here.
Yeah. So I pitched this episode or pitched this project because you can sometimes schedule an episode, but maybe schedule it for the wrong date. So it's actually helpful to see like, here's the date, it's going live. And like Kevin said, the relationship between Buzzsprout and the directories is often pretty confusing for new podcasters. The idea that your episode's published, yet I know I'm in Apple Podcasts, but I don't see it in Apple Podcasts. And my wife uses Apple Podcasts and she doesn't see my podcast. Buzzsprout's broken. This is an issue. I need to talk to support ASAP. And it escalates very quickly.
That never happens. That never happens.
So we're trying to be proactive and say, hey, here's how it's going to work and when you can expect to see things go live in each of the different areas. And then the other piece of that is that we've also built out a brand new email that in the past I used to just say, your episode's done publishing. Now it says your episode's done publishing, but includes a lot of other actions you can take. Primary one we encourage is creating a soundbite, visual soundbite that you can share on social media and gets a ton more engagement than just sharing a link. So hopefully this will help people, one, understand the workflow better, but then two, actually promote their episodes to keep growing their podcast.
Very nice. So it'll say your episode published in Spotify 2 seconds ago, Apple Podcasts somewhere in the next 4 to 6 weeks, and Pandora
in a year or two when they approve you.
Good. Well, that'll be good. And transparency, knowing where things are in the process is always a good thing. So excited about those new features. And as always, we'll keep you updated as we push new things out. So, Albin, how is your choreographed dance career taking off? You've been practicing.
I have no idea. Right? I didn't even understand the segue for that. We're going into our TikTok talk now?
Yeah. Well, I assume because you were the one that did this deep dive on how this podcast used TikTok to drive.
Yeah, I've spent the last 2 months doing choreographed dances trying to promote podcasts.
Yeah, we haven't really seen a bump on Buzzcast yet.
I'm sure it's on its way.
I don't know if that's an indication that we're not doing the strategy right or if it's more indicative of your dance moves or not.
All right, we got to bring this home.
So all of that to say, there was a Buzzsprout podcast recently that posted in our Facebook group talking about something they stumbled into. They've been using TikTok to tell people about their show, and they've been doing it a very particular way. And then one of their videos just took off, and they got a huge bump in their downloads. So, Albin, I know you did a big deep dive into this. Talk to them. Why don't you share with us just some things that you published in your Twitter thread, and then maybe we'll walk through some things that other podcasters could do if they're trying to figure out, how do I use social media to grow my audience? How's that for a lead up?
That's a big lead up.
So the podcast that did this is called Mark Safe, a disaster podcast, and it's all about these big disasters like a plane crash or a hurricane or something that goes wrong at a amusement park. And episodes are all – they all seem to just be these like long deep dive stories about here's what happened, here are the things that led up to this disaster, kind of telling the stories of these disasters. So they started a year and a half ago and they're making consistent progress. But at least the stats they shared in the Facebook group and on Twitter were above average, but not incredible. As when you look at the quality of the podcast, how much work they're putting in, the content was above average. The downloads were not a whole lot better than average. Then about a month ago, they started experimenting with TikTok. And if you think about the podcast, it kind of lends itself to TikTok. It's a story-driven show where they're telling the stories of people. And it's kind of these stories you can't look away from or can't turn off because you're like, oh my gosh, this is so bad. I can't believe what's going to happen to this roller coaster issue. And so they start posting these on TikTok. And I looked back and most of the TikToks were getting like 7,000 views, which that's pretty good, but it's nothing incredible yet.
Especially for TikTok. TikTok views tend to be just astronomical compared to like YouTube, for instance.
Yeah. I should talk about how TikTok is different than other social platforms. TikTok, more than any other platform, is leveraging the content itself rather than the network you've already built up.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on Twitter and you have a really big following, even if you put out a garbage tweet, it still gets seen by a lot of people and it can still get shared. And so if you're a really big account and you post like just ate a sandwich, people are like, great, awesome, bologna sandwiches are number one.
Retweet.
You get a lot of engagement.
Yes.
But if you're small on some of those other platforms, you don't get any engagement, even if you have a pretty good piece of content. TikTok is totally flipped. They always show your content to a segment of people. And if those people like it, they show it to a bigger one and a bigger one and a bigger one. So you have the chance to go viral even without any followers. Well, Mark Safe eventually hits it big. And they put out this video about a roller coaster disaster. Roller coaster goes up. They have to stop it because there's lightning. But then a second roller coaster goes and it's about to hit them. And it doesn't, but people get really hurt. They end up, they say, and if you want the whole story, come on over to our podcast. Well, this video goes nuts. So I just looked it up now. When I wrote this thread, I think it was maybe at a couple hundred thousand, and they were already seeing a big jump in downloads. It's already over, it's 1.2 million views, you know, tens of thousands of likes and comments and shares. People are really loving this video. The old videos that used to get like 7,000 views, those have all gotten way bigger because people have gone back and watched those. And the podcast itself has really, really grown. So we asked them for some follow-up, and it looks like, let me pull up these numbers. The first time I looked at it, they had 4,000 downloads in the last 30 days. That was including the beginning of that viral spike. That was when they realized something's really happening that's special. Since then, in the last month, they're up to over 40,000 downloads. So we're seeing like massive growth. And it's not just the one episode that this was in relation to. It's all of these episodes. So all the subsequent episodes they're releasing are also doing really, really well. To give you a taste of how big this is, episodes used to get a few hundred downloads each. Again, well above average, but not maybe as good as the content. And then the one that went viral, that almost got 3,000 downloads. And now they're hovering about 2,500 downloads per episode going forward. So pretty incredible results from posting a handful of videos on TikTok. One of them went viral, connected with their target demographic and audience, and now they've brought them over to the podcast.
Kevin, any observations?
Yeah, super interesting. So tell me, describe for people who haven't seen this video yet, I'm sure we can link to it. Somehow we can link TikTok videos, right?
Yeah.
In our description of this episode. But Alvin, just describe for me, like, was it just a static picture with like a waveform graphic, like a soundbite type image, or is that not working on TikTok? Did they do something different?
So what they're doing is it's a series of static images from the story, and they're telling the entire podcast story rather than it being like a 30-minute podcast. They're doing I think 30-second video. And so they've got an image of the front of the amusement park, and they say, oh, do you know what else, what other terrible stuff could happen to you in an amusement park? Let me tell you, you've got a really good hook. And then it's just static images as they're telling the story. They were able to get some video. I don't know if it's actually from this disaster, but it's like you riding on a roller coaster and going through a tunnel, and they talk about going through the tunnel. So they're syncing up some video. I don't know if it's actually from this disaster itself, but they're using like typical story-driven, kind of think of like a Ken Burns documentary where mm-hmm. it might, you know, kind of pan in on an image for a little right. bit. But you know, it works really well because it's got a really strong hook, it's got a compelling story, and then at the end, they're not saying to learn the whole, like, to find out part two, go to the podcast and annoy everyone. They tell the story that's a good piece of content on its own, and they say, if you want to learn more about the story, the whole thing, what happened afterward, then come to the podcast. So you're not doing that kind of annoying cliffhanger.
Right. And it sounds like what you're saying is they didn't actually use a piece of the podcast, like a 30-second segment from the podcast. They actually kind of retold it in a very condensed format to get people excited about hearing the whole story in detail.
Right. I mean, it's not really fair to give people just a 30-second trailer on TikTok, because what they're doing on TikTok, if you do that, you're just not going to get a lot of exposure because people are like, I'm not here for trailers. I'm here for 30-second clips. So they're creating content for that platform. And then TikTok is like, hey, this is great stuff. We'll keep showing this to 1.2 million people. And a big portion of that, I mean, not a massive portion, but something like 3,000 people who watched that video were like, dang, actually, that'd be kind of a cool podcast. I'm into podcasts. I'll pop open my favorite podcast app and search for Mark Safe, a disaster podcast. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Were they able to link to the podcast in any way?
No. So another thing they did really well at the end is they've got their podcast artwork on the page, and they, when they're doing the call to action. So if they could have done a link, I'm sure it would have been even better, but they're really just saying, go back over there to the podcast. But having that artwork makes it really easy. So when people are searching, like, I think that was called Marked Safe. And then they're like, oh yeah, that's the same artwork I saw earlier. That makes it much easier for people to find you. So I think that's another thing they did well.
That's good, especially because I know that's one of the, you know, pain points with Instagram is until you get that swipe up functionality in your stories, the only place you can put a link is in your bio. You can't actually put web URL links that work in captions. And so that's always been a moving target of what's the best way to drive calls to action to send someone somewhere if you're trying to promote a podcast and you have less than 10,000 followers. And so I think that's really smart how they use that kind of visual artwork and then reiterated the call to action in a really clear way to make it easy to remember when you did want to take that action and you did want to learn more.
One thing that really stuck out to me and why I was really keen on following up with them after this went viral. If you remember a few months ago, I did an interview with Elsie Escobar at Libsyn.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it's not uncommon for her to see podcasts get featured in New and Noteworthy, but then she'd maybe go back and check out how the podcast was doing. And it kind of like got this big peak and then went back to its old level. And I was trying to think, like, is TikTok going to be the same way? Let's follow up. Elsie actually specifically said, make sure you follow up with us and tell us, is this the same behavior? And it's not. This is a sustained success, and it looks like a drastic improvement that will continue to stay with them. My theory for why it's different, Apple New and Noteworthy is like the front page of podcasting. I mean, if you're just pulling open your phone, you will see it. And all that you really need is, I mean, a very, very small percentage of people to go, that's cool. Click, play, listen to 30 seconds. Not super into that, and leave. Because your podcast was featured on a page where millions of people look at podcast episodes. And if you aren't hooking people and they may not be the target audience, they may not stick around for multiple episodes. Contrast that with this tactic where the fact that people actually went out of their way to find them, they didn't just go see the video. They saw the video on TikTok. They're obviously into this kind of like disasters and like these intense stories, and they enjoyed this video. Then they go out of their way to go to a podcast app and subscribe. That there's so much more intentionality there, and they've already limited the people who are going to test out the podcast episode to people who are probably going to enjoy this podcast. And you see it in the numbers. They're able to kind of hold this level of success going forward because they really hit the target audience rather than just, you know, it's like, what's the other side we see is like people who spray out links to their podcast all over the internet and they're surprised people don't click on it. Well, it's because most of the people who are seeing that link aren't interested in your type of show. This was super targeted, which is why I think they've done so well.
That's so funny how having that friction point is actually playing in their favor. Because if you ever read any kind of digital marketing or online marketing advice, it's remove as much friction as possible from the person you want to reach taking the action you want them to take, right? But because they had to go through like so many steps on their own without like, hey, just click this link and we'll take you through this automated process to grab your email and send you things. It's no, this is a video telling you a 30-second version of the story. If you want to learn more, here are some breadcrumbs you can follow to go and discover this in a podcast app, whichever one you happen to use. And it's like, because those are the people that went through those steps, they're more likely to stick with it, like you said. And so I just think it's funny how so much of the effort can be put on, well, how do I make it as easy as possible to just share this everywhere and get as many people to just click this link as possible? But we know that the magic of podcasting is not in that ephemeral kind of virality. It's in connecting with that core audience that shows up for you every single week.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if simply because the nature of TikTok, you can both get the organic reach, but then also because there's no easy way to link to a specific episode or to a website, that that combination could be really powerful.
So I obviously, if they had a link on the video that you could just click to like hop into Apple Podcasts and subscribe right there, they would have more downloads now. But the, what would have happened was, I think, they would have gotten a massive spike. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking not just like the 3,000 downloads for that episode that they got. I'm thinking they might have gotten 30,000. And then it would have crashed almost all the way down to where it is now, maybe around the 3,000 mark, not the 2,500.
Right.
And the filter is going to be somewhere in there. You know, you're going to have people who just listen to the 10 seconds. And probably the people who just click because the link's right there, probably the people are only going to listen to 10 seconds. This is actually the same tactic that scammers use. If you ever get like the Nigerian Prince email and you think, man, this scam has been around for so long, who's still falling for this? Well, the reason they still use the exact same scams we've been getting since the 90s is because they don't want to field everybody who's slightly gullible. They only want to field scam opportunities from people who are super gullible. And so if you're willing, so they're basically to send out that email and only 0.0001% ever respond. Well, those are probably the people who go all the way through to sending you $2,000 in gift cards or something. So it's kind of the same tactic. So we will call this the Nigerian Prince scam email tactic.
Well, it's always very convenient when, like, you know, there's a warrant out for your arrest for unpaid taxes and they're willing to accept Target gift cards. It's very accommodating of the Internal Revenue Service. So, yeah, a very interesting case study. We'll definitely link to the Twitter thread that Alvin put together, kind of breaking this down in the show notes if you want to go and learn more about that. And then also stay up to date on everything else that's going on in podcasting. Make sure you follow Alvin on Twitter. You can be our public facing figure of the three of us. We'll rely on you to be the person that people can interact with and chat with. And me and Kevin, we'll just sit back and let you become famous, if that's all right with you.
Fine with me. If anybody wants to follow me on Twitter, you're welcome to.
Welcome to This or That, the very first rendition of this game on Buzzcast. What we're going to do is we're just going to play out some different scenarios that everyday podcasters face on a consistent basis, and we're going to see what you guys think they should do in these scenarios.
Okay, so you're going to give us two options, and we pick this or that.
Right, and you have to explain why. That's the other part. You
can't like to show our work?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not good at showing my work.
You can't just put the answer at the bottom.
All right, will you award like a point to whoever has the better answer?
Sure, I think that's fair.
All right, now you're going to get much better content.
Wait.
Kevin and I will be competitive.
How do you decide who goes first? Like who gives their answer first?
Whoever buzzes in first.
I feel like when I like give my answer, I want Alvin to go into the room of silence so he can't hear it, and then he has to come back and give his.
I'm not going to copy your answer.
I think that's fair. We got five questions, so I think a point awarded for the winner of each question will be a good way to go about the scoring system, so we'll have a winner.
All right, and it's 11:55 local time here, so how about loser buys lunch?
Ooh.
On my work credit card.
Let's do it.
Sounds like fair stakes. All right, first question on this or that. You have $300. Do you spend it on podcast artwork or a nicer microphone?
Buzz. Did I say buzz?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Say buzz.
Give me like a ding sound there. Artwork for sure. There's a lot of really big podcasts that actually are recording on $60 microphones. And you'd be surprised by some of the largest podcasts I've talked to. They're like, yeah, my audience is always talking about $1,000 mics. I've still got this $30 USB mic that I got. And no one's ever complained about my sound quality. The mic itself is not as important. It's much more about the recording studio. We just put out a new video about how to make your mic sound better. And I think that that is more important than the mic hardware itself. The artwork, on the other hand, that's the first thing everybody sees about your podcast. It kind of lets people know, like, are you taking this thing seriously or did you just slap together some artwork super quickly? And if you can get someone $300 is a good budget to get a nice piece of artwork. You're going to look so much better. And if you watch that video that I think Travis put out, then you're going to be in a good spot with the mic. And I think now you're set for success.
All right. Same question to you, Kevin. You have $300. Do you spend it on podcast artwork or a nicer microphone?
You'll spend it on lunch.
All right. I'm going to go with a curveball answer here and we'll see how this works out for me. I think I would take that $300. And depending on – so if you have a decent microphone right now, like a 2100 or a Q2U or better, I would stick with that. So I would take – if you don't have that, I would go with a mic first. Like spend your $60 to $80 of your $300 that you have and go ahead and get the mic. Next, I would think I'd take all the rest of that money and invest it in podcast artwork. Okay. Now, you don't have to spend any of it because if you have like – if you have some design sensibilities at all, you can just use a great tool like Canva. It's integrated with Buzzsprout and you can make some really great podcast artwork yourself. Invest a couple hours. At the end of that couple hours, if you're not happy with what you turned out with, take that money and go out to Fiverr or 99 Designs and spend the money. But I think with my solution, I think what you're going to have is a really great mic with a really great sound and you're going to have about $220 still in your pocket.
Okay, before you award
Boom.
The point,
oh, we have a rebuttal. Okay,
before you award the point,
this typical lawyer.
The name
right here.
Of the show is This or That, and your answer
and
to
I
the
went,
first question was
This and That.
I want
Boom.
Both of those things. Yeah, that's better if you could do that. Yeah. That's not the game show.
Well, we'll see what the judge says.
Well, so here's the interesting thing about this particular number. So $300 is a not insignificant amount of money. So for that, you could get a Shure MV7. Rode Procaster, like Heil PR30, PR40, or you could go to 99 Designs, which right. typically those contests are in that $300 range to get like dozens of professional graphic designers creating your artwork and you choose the one you like, which is how we've done podcasting Q&A and How to Start a Podcast, both of those artworks from 99 Designs. And so I agree that between these two things, podcast artwork or a nicer microphone, podcast artwork all day long. So first point goes to Albin for sticking with the rules of the game, but I appreciate the effort.
This is ridiculous. I clearly had the better answer, but Nate, you're going to be get me on a technicality.
The technicality is
because
playing
I,
the actual
because
game.
Because I hacked your game and I got a this and that. All right. I get it. I got the rules now. I understand the box and the world I'm playing in.
All right. You can answer this one first.
All right. Next question. This or that. Your podcast gets 500 downloads per episode within the first 7 days and you want to start monetizing it. Do you want to pursue CPM sponsorships or affiliate marketing as your first strategy?
Okay. Yeah. Easy one for me. Affiliate marketing all day long because I want to, before I go out and approach sponsors and promise them what I may or may not be able to deliver, I need to prove to myself what I can or can't deliver. And so I'm going to show myself what I can do and I'm going to learn the art of promoting a product that I believe in through affiliate marketing. And I'm not just going to find a product and talk about it on my podcast and drop links, affiliate links in my show notes. I'm going to do it the right way. I'm going to add a page to my website like buzzcast.com/love. And I'm going to list all the things that I love. I'm going to find all the products that I love and I use and I talk about. I'm going to figure out which ones work better than others and prove the model, figure out how many sales I'm driving using affiliate marketing. And then I'm going to approach either those people directly and say, hey, let's get on a CPM model because you're paying me for every sale. Like it would be more cost effective and easier for everybody if we just did a sponsorship deal. Or I'm just going to find similar products in that vein and say, hey, I'm already selling your competitor's product. I'm selling 100 of them a month. How about I sell yours instead? Send me some money. Let's set up a deal.
All right, Albin.
Well, Kevin took this, so I'll take that. CPM sponsorship. We're looking at 500 in the first 7 days. So probably we're getting more than that as it goes on to maybe 30 days. 500 times four, that's one episode a week, times three, we've got three ads per episode, times the $20 CPM, we're looking at $120 a month. And then any of that back catalog, the more than 7 days, that's all gravy. So maybe we're looking at $150, $200. At that level, I'm more worried about focusing on the content of the show. I'm not trying to go out and set up special sponsorship deals yet. So I'm going to take the $20 CPM, the little bit easier thing to lock in. I'm going to get my $200 a month and I'm going to stay focused on my content. I'm not going to get distracted by trying to set up special deals.
All right. You that's a tough choice. You guys both made compelling cases. But because the judge is fickle and makes his own decisions, we're going to award point number two to Albin.
Are you kidding me?
This is
great. So Alvin is up 2-0. The tension is building. So Kevin, you got to sweep.
There's so many weak points in his argument.
You got to sweep the rest of these.
I didn't even rebuttal.
You should have rebutted before he gave his points out.
That's all right. You still got a chance. You still got three more questions, Kevin.
Give me a break. The listeners are cutting this episode off as we speak. They're so disappointed in the judgment.
The third this or that choice. What's better for long-term podcast growth? High-quality episodes for a seasonal podcast, where you do 20 episodes a year, or less ambitious episodes, but you release episodes weekly?
Man, I'm very tempted to get caught into the, well, let me assume more about this question and then try to answer it. I think I would prefer the less ambitious episodes weekly. If someone was asking me this at a podcast conference, that's the answer I would give. If we were able to guarantee you're going to put out like serial level episodes and maybe it takes you 2 years to put out another season, okay, go for the seasonal stuff because that has been proved out. But for most podcasters, you really have to learn the craft of podcasting. And the way to learn the craft of podcasting is to actually release episodes. Sarah Koenig didn't start with serial. A lot of these podcasts that do that, they cut their teeth somewhere else. And then they moved on to these big productions. So go ahead and do that weekly show. Get into a cadence of, I may not have an idea, but I'm pushing into it and I'm going to make a great episode as best I can within a week. So focus on that for long-term growth. At any point, if you do get to the point where you're like, I wish I had more time for each of these episodes because they could be fleshed out even more, then that's when I would start considering moving to a different model. But in the beginning, let's start with those weekly cadence.
All right. I got this one because Alvin messed up. I got it. So
the arrogance in these aren't helping
you. It's playing against me, clearly, but I'm going to double down on it. So Alvin said right in the beginning of his answer, he said, I don't want to assume more into this question than is there. But then he did make this assumption that this is a beginning podcaster.
You're not answering the question. You're just arguing
I'm just
me.
Telling the judge ahead of time why I'm going to get this one right, why I'm going to get the point. So you don't have an option. The clear answer here is high quality episodes. It says right there in the question. We always say content trumps everything else, like quality content. And you're saying high quality content over like consistent weekly episodes. Let's go for high quality content. Final answer.
Let me get my rebuttal in here.
All right.
What is this?
You can throw the challenge flag before the point is awarded.
You can rebut the rebuttal if you choose to. I'll allow it.
This is being a debate podcast.
Sustained.
Come on.
All right, so there was a study where they're trying to figure out what leads to better quality. Is it putting out a lot of stuff and learning, or is it actually focusing on making a great piece of art? And so what a professor did was he had a photography class where he said, I'm going to judge half the class by the quantity of images you make. Just do as many great images and edit them for me. You can throughout the year. The quantity gets you your grade. Then the other half of the class.
Can we get to the point, please?
You're only judged on the very best image that you take. At the end of the year, the best images all came from the quantity group, not the quality. The quality got so wrapped up in making this perfect piece and taking this perfect image that they stalled and they didn't get as much done. The people who were putting out a quantity learned and iterated so well that they ended up putting out incredible images.
Again, he's just doubling down on the assumption that he made that it's a beginning podcaster who wasn't already capable of creating high quality content right at the bat, which wasn't in the question, which is why the point has to go to me. Let's go.
I'm persuaded. Point number three goes to Kevin.
There we go.
That was a pity
Finally,
point.
Finally.
I've never seen one. That was a pity point
this
for
is
sure.
Less the price is right, more whose line is it anyways? In our scoring here. The points don't matter, but they do because someone will pay for lunch.
Right.
This or that number four. You can only choose one strategy. Looking at you, Kevin. Only choose one.
Got it.
Fully committed to promoting your show on your listeners' favorite social media app, or be a featured guest on one podcast in your niche every month. Which strategy do you choose to grow your podcast audience?
All right. I would pick.
Wait. Didn't you go last time?
Yeah. Kevin,
you went
first.
You went first last time.
You need the help you can get, so I'll let you go. You got to sweep here
this
on
is,
out.
He's getting ugly. All right. I would be a featured guest on one podcast in my niche every month. The reason why, I'm going to back this up with a little research since Alvin's a huge research fan. PricewaterhouseCoopers just did some research on behalf of IAB. And one of the things that they found is that year over year, There's a 13% increase in growth in the number of people who find a new podcast by listening to another podcast. And it's up to 46% of new podcasts are being discovered by while listening to another podcast. So I don't have the data on social media growth, and I don't think Alvin does either. And if he does, it's made up, so don't listen to it. But I don't think it's 46% of new podcasts being discovered through social media. So I'm going to go with be a guest on a podcast in your same niche. Bring it.
Yeah, I would absolutely pick to promote it on my listeners' favorite social media app. Podcasts, still the number one way to grow, is by word of mouth. People giving a recommendation to listen to a podcast. Guesting on other podcasts, that's a subset of this word of mouth recommendation. It's a recommendation from another podcast host. I'd rather have that be on social media because then I have all of my listeners together as a community, engaging with the podcast, enjoying the content, and then they are the ones providing recommendations to their friends and family. So that's a much more targeted group, and I'm really connecting to my listeners, which is the value that we have in podcasting that's not in a lot of other media types. So I would really focus on that.
On what? What answer did you give? You said both.
No, I said social media. Focus on the social media.
Okay. Sounded like you were saying both.
All right. So in the spirit of keeping this game fun, Kevin gets awarded for point number four. So we're in a dead heat going into the last question, the tiebreaker. You go on this is purely hypothetical.
Okay, hypothetical.
All right. This has probably never happened. You go on vacation for a couple of weeks, and you entrust your co-host to record the scheduled episode in your absence.
Oh, gosh.
Right.
After they drop the ball, should you tar and feather them in the town square or accept a recorded public apology?
Like a prepared statement?
Yeah, like a
hypothetical tar and feathering, or are we talking about – I mean, I'm pretty sure it's illegal to tar and feather, so that one's not available to you, Travis. But yes, you probably – a little more than a public apology. I'd probably give him a bit of grief, I'm imagining, in this hypothetical.
Yeah, purely hypothetical.
You just had your second child. You're really focused on being a good father. You're trying to do your best. You set your co-hosts up for success, and then they just – disregard it until you come back and you're like, oh, as soon as the adults leave the room, the kids just trash everything. Well, yeah, I'd probably be like, hey, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. And yeah, there's going to be a little more than just a public apology. It's probably going to happen, you know, behind the mic. You know, maybe it won't be out there for everyone to see, but I'm going to be giving them a bit of grief.
Fair enough.
So Alvin's going with tar and feather. I'm going to go with the other side. I think this one of the secrets to joy in life is forgiveness. And so being
able – oh, my gosh. I'm going to lose this game.
Yeah, you're going to lose it. And I mean, really, when you don't forgive, really the only person you're hurting is yourself. Like, you need to forgive and move on, regardless of whether they deserve it or not. And in this case, I imagine they don't deserve it. But for your own benefit, I would say forgive and move on. Let that go. They are not worthy of your forgiveness. But for your own benefit, I suggest you give it nonetheless.
That was a very, very wise – and humble answer. I'm torn, guys. I'm torn. Who should this point go to? We're going to go with character building. Kevin gets the final points.
There it is.
It's the winner of our first this or that game.
I've officially become the like Atlanta Falcons of this podcast.
Alvin jumped out early with the lead and just lost it. It's a four-quarter game, Alvin. It's a four-quarter game.
Well, if you enjoyed this fun segment that we put together, definitely reach out to Alvin on Twitter and let him know. And we'll do it more often and do more things like this. And thanks for listening to our recorded episode that was released on time. We'll catch you in the next one. Keep podcasting.